Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, welcome back to The Pod Crushed. This week, we're telling the story of American Airlines Flight 444. Thanks for listening.
Oh. We have planned to do this every day for the past month and a half.
Yes, that's
like,
true.
Planned time.
Right. Right. But then it was like... Your work exploded. Brian and I got whatever the horrible plague flu that's going around.
You guys
around
were so
is.
Sick.
I know.
For
we
a
were
going to
do it. We were going to like record and it was just
you
like,
were like
my
wait,
voice was
I'm
just,
actually
like,
really sick.
Yeah. Like, oh. But I'm stoked. And so we'll talk more about this at the end, but this is part one of like a multi-part story. So
oh, cool.
Particularly.
Okay.
I've been telling you how excited I am about this story for like truly weeks. So it's finally happening. Let's
Very
go.
Excited. Yeah.
So today we are doing the story of American Airlines Flight 444. And often... When we, I don't know what I'm going to write in the description, so I might give it away. But like often when I say the like flight number of like the multi-part stories that we're going to tell, I feel like that for people who are like aviation fans is probably giving it away. But I don't know. This one might be a little sneaky. So
yeah.
I'm excited.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going back to the glory, the effervescent beauty of November 15th, 1979.
Beautiful.
So excited. So much smoking on every plane.
Yeah.
It is the time when, like, everyone's, I don't know, prepping for the 80s, so they're like, the smoking section is in the back of this, like, metal tube where we are all completely enclosed.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that, like, such a thing? If somebody, like, walked into your, like, home, like, if you walk into, like, a non-smoker's home and, like...
Yeah.
Someone smoked a cigarette there like 3 weeks ago. You're like, damn, somebody smoked in here.
Someone's smoking in here, yeah.
But like psychologically, like the children don't know. Like you really did feel like there was less smoke in the non-smoking section.
Truly though. Like
you did.
Truly.
Yeah. Like it's fine. There's
no
smoke here. It's the non-smoking section.
Exactly.
So
there's no separation whatsoever.
No. But you... There's like a spiritual separation and everyone just agreed that it was good enough for a long time, for a long time.
Yeah.
We are flying from Chicago O'Hare to DCA. So today we call DCA like Ronald Reagan Airport, but at the time it was Washington National because it's 1979 and Ronald Reagan is the former governor of California. Nobody's naming an airport in DC after him.
No.
DCA, so for anyone who doesn't know, this may or may not matter, but there's three airports in the DC area, and DCA, Ronald Reagan, Washington National, whatever you want to call it, is like very much like right there. Like you can, it's a little airport. It's really nice, honestly, if you have to fly to DC, it's definitely the airport that's more pleasant to fly into because you just like hop on the metro and go into the city. I think it's the only airport I ever flew in or out of at DC, but that's where we're flying. We're flying from Chicago to DC. This, again, is a time where air travel is just less common, less of a normal part of people's lives. So, A, it's like more luxurious and exciting, but it's also flights like this between like DC and Chicago, New York and DC, New York and Chicago, like these LA and New York, like they're going to have more important people on them, you know, just because they are. Wait, did I put my mic on backwards? Yep, sure did.
Okay.
We're just going to fix it up. Growing pains. Is that better, friends? The little light says it's better. Brian yeah. can fix it. We believe in Brian's skills yeah. as an editor. Okay.
We love it.
American Airlines, Flight 444, November 15th, 1979, Chicago O'Hare to DCA in DC. We're flying on a 727, which I'll stand by it. I think it's a great plane. I still think it's a great plane. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty much completely been, maybe it's 100% been replaced. I don't know how many 727s are still around, but yeah. I think it's a good little plane. We love Boeing. Yeah. And it's 1979, so we got three pilots in the cockpit. We got three pilots, meaning a captain, a first officer, and a flight engineer. We got three flight attendants and 72 passengers. So with 72 passengers, this aircraft seats like I'm not sure what their layout was, but you've got some empty seats. It's not full. It's okay. It's comfortable. We don't have a ton of information about the pilots. So the captain's name is Donald, and that's all we know, kind of. Like, we love Donald. He's great. Okay. We do. We love Donald. We're going into this with nothing but love in our hearts for Donald. Don't know the first officer or the flight engineer's names, but it is January 19th, 2024. And so I'm going to name the first officer Josh and the flight engineer Alan. Okay. And you can all go straight to hell if you have a problem with that. So we're honoring these men. So, okay.
Amen.
So we're boarding up like 10 in the morning. We're trying to get there by 1. We're going to lose an hour going there. It takes like an hour and a half to get there, maybe hour and a half, hour 50, whatever. So we're trying to land right around 1 o'clock. And this is an aircraft midday flight like this. It's also contracted to take mail on board, like USPS mail. Yeah. So this would have been a time where the US Postal Service doesn't have as many of its own aircraft. This still happens. Wow. Like, just to be clear, they still do that. But it's just, there's definitely going to be room because the whole plane is going and it's not going to be full. And we got room for more stuff. Yeah. So we're taking some mail with us. And they're boarding. People are boarding up. The pilots are doing their regular checks. The ramp agents are like loading the mail and the bags onto the plane. We're aiming to take off right around 11:20, and they do successfully. Roll up, take off. As they're ascending up, so this flight, again, it's really not a very long flight. And the path that they're taking is going to have them ascend a little more leisurely, like a little more slowly. So there's going to be a lot of air traffic around Chicago. There's going to be a lot of air traffic in DC. But in that middle portion between, you got space.
Yeah.
You got room. So they're kind of like leisurely talking to air traffic control, ascending up. They're aiming for a cruising altitude of around 3,800, 38,000 feet above the ground. As they're on their way in the cockpit, they hear this thump that like kind of shakes the plane. It's not like a sharp sound. It's not what you want to hear. But nothing on their dials, nothing on their instruments is really indicating that something horrible has happened. It's not good, but what the fuck is a thump? But they're looking and they see that the plane, the cabin, has depressurized.
Oh, no.
And that's not good, right? But the flight engineer is able to repressurize it. No problem. Okay. In the cabin, the passengers feel the thump right underneath them. They can feel it under them. And they don't know what's happening necessarily, but everybody like slams their hands up to their ears because the depressurization happens really quickly and hurts their ears. But it passes pretty quickly because up in the cockpit, they were able to repressurize the cabin almost immediately.
Yeah.
And then it's just okay, what was that? Right. There's no catastrophic, no, you know, the bottom of the plane getting sucked off. Nobody is getting like ripped out of the plane. It's not like a catastrophic depressurization, but they did depressurize. And they are kind of looking around, and the flight attendants don't know what happened, but the flight attendants are just kind of like, seems like everything's fine, it's okay. But they like come up and knock on the cockpit door and are like, hey, what was that?
Yeah.
And the pilots are trying to figure it out because they don't know, but in their troubleshooting they kind of decide there's like a valve that opens and shuts as part of the pressurization process. So for anyone who doesn't know, on an aircraft, you need the plane to be pressurized above 10,000 feet so you can breathe normally and like remain conscious. And that's totally normal. Usually works. Obviously, it's like a relatively complex system. Mm-hmm. And talking through it, the pilots figure that it's probably this one valve that kind of got stuck in the pressurization process. And when it got stuck, it made the thump feeling that they all felt.
Oh, okay.
And depressurized, but then it's not a non-functioning valve, it's functioning and it just got stuck. So, okay, they decide that that's the most likely thing. Plane seems fine. They're continuing to ascend. They heard the thump at around 34,500 feet, and they're still ascending normally toward 3,800, and they're kind of like, I think the valve is just sticky. We'll check it out when we get to DC.
Mm-hmm.
They call their company, let them know, like, hey, when we land, seems like maybe this happened, so check it out. And then the captain, Donald, makes an announcement over the intercom and says, like, sorry about that, folks. Hope you're not scared. Just seems like a sticky valve. It's been known to happen from time to time. Because it has. Stuff gets stuck. I don't know. We're all good. It's okay. So everybody kind of, like, settles back in. Pilots settle back into their jobs. Passengers settle in. The flight attendants, it's 1979, so the flight attendants go back to handing out drinks and smokes and lunch on this very short flight, very luxurious. So everybody is kind of just, you know, okay, that's weird, but okay. People are smoking in the back. They give you those little packs at this time, a little pack of five cigarettes in case you forgot them. You're not going to be on an hour and a half flight without cigarettes. Like, what are we talking about? And like, obviously your neighbor would give you one if you bummed it, but you're a wealthy person on a plane. You're not going to bum a cigarette. The airline will give it to you. So people are, you know, smoking in the back. But like, it's really smoky.
Uh-oh.
Like, it's really smoky. And like, cigarette smoke is usually like kind of hazy.
Yeah.
But it seems really smoky and the smoke seems kind of dark. And there's like a smell in the cabin that's like a sweet chemical smell.
Oh no.
And the passengers are kind of like, that seems like, I'm very familiar with cigarette smoke. Something's not right.
Right.
And like gradually, it's getting smokier and smokier. And the smoke has like that sweet smell and like a green tinge.
Oh.
And that green tinge, there's no cigarettes going around that have like a green smoke. So the passengers are starting to like, something is wrong, and the flight attendants know something is wrong, but again, part of their job is to try to keep everyone as calm as possible, because if something's wrong, freaking out is not going to help, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're watching that happen, and the flight attendants call, because they're seeing smoke in the cabin, they don't want to open the cockpit door, they call the cockpit crew again and say, like, hey, like, it seems like there's smoke in the cabin. And at this time, the reality is, again, people smoke on planes, people throw their cigarettes out in the garbage cans, on the, like, in the bathrooms, people, there's like a one of the articles I read talked about how a pilot mentioned that the last time I had smoke on my plane, it was a Pop-Tart, literally a Pop-Tart that a flight attendant had forgotten about in the thing. Like, it's one of those things where, just like, honestly, if you smell smoke in your house, right, you're going to think like barbecue or, but you know, there's like that animal part of you that's like, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Smoke is dangerous.
Something's off. Yeah.
Yeah. And they call up to the cockpit crew and they're like, hey, something's weird. Something's weird. It seems like it's getting kind of smoky in here. Is everything looking okay on your end? And Donald is flying the aircraft. He's got Josh next to him. He asks Alan, the flight engineer, to get up. And he says, like, can you just go, like, check what's going on? And as he goes back, the smoke has, like, started to, like, billow more and more and more and more and more in, like, the front of the passenger cabin. So pretty close to the door where the pilots are, close to the cockpit door. And the flight attendants are seeing this. And the flight attendants are trying to, like, tell everyone, like, hey, do you mind grabbing your stuff and, like, moving back to the back of the plane where it's less smoky? Like, would you be more comfortable in the smoking section? So they're starting to move people back. And passengers are starting to freak out. And Alan opens the door and sees the passengers starting to panic as they move back, and he can see the smoke, like, seeping out of, like, the kind of the joints of the floor and seeping out more and more and more. And he turns around and goes back into the cockpit and he says, no, something is wrong. There's tons of, like, green chemical smoke. And the pilots, okay, so emergency, right? Like, fuck it. Like, nobody needs to go to DC that bad, but right, they're actually pretty close, like, to DC anyway. Donald calls and declares an emergency. He has Josh, the first officer, take over the radio and communicate with air traffic control. He focuses on flying the plane, and he's got Alan, the flight engineer, like, keeping track and just, like, troubleshooting, just, like, trying to figure out what on earth, what green smoke, green chemical smoke is not, what is causing that? I have no idea. The plane is flying pretty normally. Like, nothing is wrong. They don't have any weird alerts. Nothing looks wrong. If it wasn't for the smoke, they would not know something was wrong. But the passengers know something is wrong, and the passengers are starting to freak out. They dropped the oxygen masks because no fire. We don't see any flames. It's just smoke. They drop the oxygen masks so the passengers can breathe. They put on their own oxygen masks. It's 1979. People, not every single person can quote the speech about, like, you know, put on your own mask before helping others. So right. Passengers are, like, trying to figure out the masks. They don't necessarily know that the bag of the thing isn't going to inflate. It doesn't mean it's not working. So the passengers are freaking out and, like, screaming for the flight attendants to come help them. And the flight attendants are, again, trying to keep everyone calm, but it's getting smokier and smokier and smokier and smokier and smokier, and just trying to keep everybody calm. Donald can tell that the passengers are starting to panic. And the thing is even if the plane is flying totally normally, it's going to be a plane of dead passengers if they can't get it down. So he tells Josh, who's running the radio, he says, like, okay, you're gonna just start to narrate what we're doing, because we're done. We're not asking for permission. We're just, you tell them what we're doing. Don't ask if we can do it. They're over Dulles. They're close to Dulles Airport, another airport in the DC area. Mm-hmm. So he starts to descend very rapidly, just starts to, like, pretty much rocket down toward the ground, like, way, like, over speed warning goes off. Pretty much the first time they've had any real warning in the cockpit is him getting down toward the ground as fast as he can. The passengers and the flight attendants can feel that, right? They can feel it happening. They feel it in their stomachs. There's more and more and more smoke. With the oxygen masks, they can breathe, and they're eyes are still stinging, and the smoke is becoming so thick that if they have people with a smaller face or like a different face shape, the it's not making like a, it's not like a, making a seal. The mask doesn't make a seal on their face, and it's starting to like seep into the mask. So the passengers are getting more and more freaked out, and they don't know why. The flight attendants don't know why. They're like rocketing toward the ground as quickly as they are. Josh is just telling air traffic control, like, we are descending right now, very fast, right now. We're at this flight level, like down, 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 down. We're going to land at Dulles. The air traffic controller is just like, okay, like, what are they gonna do? Can't stop them. So they're telling everybody to basically get off the runway at Dulles because they're coming. At Dulles, there's a plane that has just landed ahead of them, and that plane needs to get off the runway. So that plane is like trying to like get off the runway as fast as they can, and it is, again, in the cockpit, not that much smoke. It's a clear day, weather's fine. They can see the, they can see Dulles Airport. They can see the runway. Donald is flying this plane. He's going too fast to land. But he wants the plane on the ground right now. He can see a plane is trying to get off the runway. Not off the runway yet. He goes for it. Drops the gear. Jeez. Puts the plane down. Tell them doesn't get permission from air traffic control. Tell them we're landing. He hits the ground. Brakes. They do everything they can to slow the plane down as quickly as possible. They are rocketing toward this other plane on the runway that's trying to like get off the runway, and they like I don't know by how much, but they miss it. It doesn't seem like much, but they miss it. Jeez. So they get there. The fire trucks have not had enough time to like actually get there. So they're like rolling out, trying to like meet the plane as quickly as they can. Donald and the other two pilots like call, like shut everything down as fast as they can. Donald yells to evacuate. The flight attendants are more than happy to get off this plane. Yeah. They're not going to ask questions about how we got here. We're here. They drop the air stairs that come out of the plane. Thankfully, they don't have to wait. They drop them in the rear of the plane where all of the passengers are anyway. And everybody just starts to like pour off the plane along with all of this dense, dark, green smoke, like billowing out with them out of the cabin. Everybody gets off the plane.
Oh, thank
everybody
God.
Lives. 12 people are hospitalized for smoke inhalation, but everybody lives.
Gosh.
And the fire trucks roll up, open up the cargo compartment where the mail was, and they can see like the green smoke just pouring out. The mail is on fire. And so they start to foam the mail until it goes out. And they're in DC. So the NTSB shows up nice and fast.
Yeah.
And the NTSB starts to like look in there, and they don't look at it very long at all. Because it looks like a bomb exploded.
Oh.
So they call the FBI.
Oh my gosh.
The FBI comes and starts to like remove everything out of the cargo compartment where the fire was. And they find what remains of the bomb. It's pretty small, like smaller than like even a foot square. Like it's a foot by like 7 or 8 inches. Mm-hmm. It had been wrapped in paper in a cardboard box, but it was in like a wooden crate. And like the wood is part of the bomb.
Oh.
And yeah. And there's like a coffee can, like an old coffee can with C-cell batteries. It has an altimeter hooked up to it.
Whoa.
So it was specifically designed to go off at 34,500 feet.
Good Lord.
It had explosive components that hadn't detonated weigh more than enough to blow a hole in the plane and take it down. But the ignition, like the thing that would have ignited those explosive components, instead of using something more combustible, it was the stuff that you use to make green fireworks, hence the green hue to the smoke and like the chemical smell. So it's really sophisticated in some ways, made literally out of trash.
Right.
But like the wooden crate, and they're like, I think this bomb is the same as two other bombs we've seen so far.
What?
One last year in 1978 and one from May of 1979, just a few months ago. And they compare these two earlier bombs to the bomb that they got off the plane with the wood components made out of trash, weirdly sophisticated in other ways. And eventually, so instead of everyone waiting for the NTSB to write their report to see what happened to the plane, people are waiting for the FBI. And after they compared what they had to what they were holding in their hands, they did a press conference and they announced that they're looking for someone who targets universities and airlines who they're naming the Unabomber.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is insane.
So something
in, at this point in the story, is this a confirmation?
This is when he was named the Unabomber. This was the UNA stands, so it's universities, airlines,
right?
Bomber.
Oh, so when that's what the when name comes from. They started realizing that airlines were being bombed.
Exactly.
I see.
Which
I
is
see.
This flight. This is
Got
the first
you,
time
yeah.
an airline has been bombed. The two earlier bombs had been left or mailed to universities.
Oh my god.
So obviously we haven't been making episodes for a little while, a lot of different reasons, but something that is just probably are more in fact, like by the numbers, our most popular episodes ever were the story that we did about the Uruguayan rugby team in the Andes.
Yeah.
And it was also probably my favorite, right? And I mean, that's Nando and Beto are both named after Nando and Roberto Canessa, right? Like, I love that story. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that we're going to move like our show in like a subtly different direction where I want to do more like different kinds of stories, obviously still with something to do with aviation most of the time, but I want to do more stories like that where there's more to talk about, where we can do the same, like dig in more to different stories and like spend more time on them.
Beautiful.
So this is part one of the podcast talks about the Unabomber.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Incredible.
I know. You never, poor Mariah, you don't get to know ahead of time anything.
I love living life like this.
Yeah.
It is the best. Like, oh, yeah.
I'm excited.
This is amazing.
I'm very excited. And it was really fun to like look for information about this flight because it's in a lot of like things that are written about the Unabomber, even like the different articles about this flight, I had to like read mostly articles from like when like articles that were written like the day after or 2 days after to get very much information about the flight at all. But something that's so interesting, there was a New York Times article about like on like November 16th, 1979, like written like very shortly after this happened. And that article gave the captain's name, but no one else's name. And so I was looking into the captain, and most of the details about what actually happened in the cockpit, I got from an article he was interviewed for. Donald was interviewed for immediately after Swissair 111 crashed.
Oh.
And in that article, they were talking, the premise of that article was, I'll put this stuff in the description because they are really interesting.
Yeah.
But the premise of the article about Swissair 111, there were only two pilots. It was like an aircraft that no longer needed a flight engineer. And flight engineers are slowly disappearing at that time in the 90s. And Donald was saying, like, I'm so grateful we had three people in the cabin, like in the cockpit. Like, I'm so grateful for that. And I think that it's a real loss not to have somebody like a third brain in there, a third pilot mind to help you troubleshoot, to be able to get up and go and like look with your own eyes. Like, which, I mean, we've talked about that. It's it seems better.
Yeah.
It seems better to have a third person in there.
I mean, and like. Like, Unabomber part of it aside, like, he just was getting that plane to the ground. Like,
oh, my gosh.
He was shoving that plane towards the
ground. He just had to use his best judgment, I guess, because he did not ask for permission. He did not have clearance to land. He did not. He didn't wait for any of it. And having three people to, I guess, support that decision or like execute that decision,
exactly.
Like extra eyes,
like we're doing
extra,
like I'm gonna shove this plane, let's make sure that we land, you know.
Like, keep your eyes peeled that nobody's gonna hit us and we're not gonna hit anybody, which
right.
It's insanely dangerous. And I mean, it is, it's tremendously dangerous, and it would be a horrible tragedy if instead of this we were talking about the 4-year long investigation, trying to figure out, like, get to the bottom of what happened when this random American Airlines flight, like, had a midair collision with a Delta plane trying to land because
exactly.
They've got green smoke, you know. But I'm very grateful that it worked out.
Yeah.
Because it's a risky move, my dude. Like, I know it's the 70s, but like.
So risky.
Woo! But he didn't want people to die. And that was, he felt like people were, he felt like the smoke was going to, he didn't want to get on the ground and have dead passengers in that plane.
Right.
Like, that was what he was trying to avoid. And he did avoid it. Everyone lived. But.
My word.
Risky move, dude. Like, ooh.
Donald. Okay.
Donald. I mean, he did not get in real trouble. He kept flying. He kept on going. So,
damn.
Oh boy.
You're right.
God bless the 70s. But
you just can do it.
Yeah. So I'm excited. So the goal for 2024 is to do more stories like this one. And the only other big goal is to do more episodes than we did in 2023. Which I did not count. That was on my to-do list, was to count how many episodes we did in 2023.
Yeah.
But I did not. So I'll do it right now. Do you have a fact? I know that we kind of like, oh, I can't wait to hear it.
You are going to love. I mean, we've kind of talked about this endlessly, but we need to. Ty made a good point. I had another fact and I don't know what I did with it. Can't find it. Cannot remember it. It's a great fact. I'll find it someday.
The worst.
I have a list of facts in my notes app. Like, why don't I just put it there? Anyways, we are going to talk about how. Oh, sorry. ADHD. When I was telling Ty I didn't have a fact yet, he said, why don't you change the narrative and put it out there that Josh Allen is not a turnover machine? So we're going to talk about how Josh Allen is not a fucking turnover machine. And so I have some stats for you. So I'm sorry, sports fans, non-sports fans, you can tune out for a little bit if you don't want to hear about the amazing Josh Allen. But I encourage you to listen.
Just hit
because
the Just listen.
Yeah,
so
just
Josh
listen.
Allen, for anyone who doesn't know, Josh Allen is the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills NFL team. And he's a very good quarterback.
He's such a good quarterback.
He's incredible.
Okay. And yes, and he gets slandered in the media.
Slandered.
About
he is
his
not
turnovers.
Appreciated in his time.
And it seems as if he's only appreciated when the Bills are like 18-0, which has never happened. Like, it's not.
Which means he's never been appreciated. Adequately.
Exactly. Okay, so facts are from, actually, Casey, the video that you had sent about.
I love that video.
Yeah,
I'm sending
it's
a lot
video.
Of videos
so
about Josh Allen.
We'll link to that video so that you can also watch it.
Can I be so annoying? So just for people who don't like watch football at all, like, or don't know what it is. So the quarterback is the guy who throws the ball. And so if you throw the ball to the wrong team, if like somebody from the other team catches the ball, now they possess the ball. It's very bad. It's something you don't want to happen. Or if you fumble it, that means that it like slips out of your hands. And if so, a turnover means that either you threw an interception or the ball fell out of your hands and the other team got it.
Yes.
Which means that you have to go sit down and it's very sad.
So sad. And this does happen a lot to Josh Allen, I will say.
It happens a
decent amount. The reason it happens is because he's got a rocket for an arm and he fucking rockets it down the field. And sometimes the other team is going to do their job very well and catch the ball, you know?
Yeah.
It's just going to happen.
We're playing, the margins are incredibly small. These
exactly.
are like some of the like most incredible athletes in the universe, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to take risks, like our boy Donald. Donald taking risks.
Exactly.
Just kind of hoping that he's not going to crash into another plane.
Yes.
And
Donald and Josh are very similar in this regard.
Very similar. Sometimes you just got to take a risk.
So the point of these facts is to prove that Josh Allen should be the MVP this year. Currently in this current football season, the MVP, the like front runner of the MVP is Lamar Jackson, who is also an incredible quarterback. Amazing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely just like fucking he is number one in rushing yards for quarterbacks right now.
He's
which is like he just runs
exciting.
Down the field. He just runs.
Right. He runs instead
exactly.
of throwing it, he runs. And that's being good at both of those things, being able to like run and like smartly and well and throw the ball well, like is very difficult.
Very, very difficult. Lamar had a great season. Ravens are great. Love the Ravens.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Do your thing. That's fine. This is not to slander Lamar Jackson in any regard or disrespect Lamar Jackson.
Of course.
However, if you look at the numbers and you look at the stats, so Josh Allen, for reference for all these stats, Josh Allen currently has 22 turnovers. Okay? And this is like the main reason why people say he cannot be the MVP. So because he has so many turnovers. In 2018, Patrick Mahomes had 21 turnovers and was the unanimous MVP. Okay.
Fuck off, Patrick Mahomes. I'm sure you're a perfectly nice person. You have a lovely family.
Yes, like beautiful. I've watched a YouTube video of you and your wife. Fine. You look like you have a great relationship. I'm so happy for you. Fuck off.
Fuck off.
Fully
fuck
off.
Fired.
And get
your
the fuck out of Buffalo.
On Sunday.
Yes. Okay. The last three winning Super Bowl quarterbacks have been in the top five for turnovers for the season.
Yeah,
because
you got to take risks.
Because you got to take risks. Good quarterbacks throw the ball, and sometimes the other team catches it, okay? He's the second in the lead for game-winning drives. He has had zero games this season, and he has lost in a fourth quarter lead. If the Bills lost in that game, it was due to a defensive error or like a ref call or like whatever, but it wasn't it had nothing to do with Josh Allen's interception percentage or number.
Because that's the other way people inflate his, like, oh, he's a turnover machine. He cost them games. Like, not this right. year, bitch. Like, no. Walk away.
Exactly. Exactly. The Buffalo Bills, so the Bills have had 6 losses. In those 6 losses, Josh Allen has 15 total touchdowns. Just for comparison for Lamar Jackson, he has 3 losses, but only has 3 touchdowns in those 3 losses. So Josh Allen has 15 in his losses, 3 in his, in Lamar Jackson's. This season, he has 44 total touchdowns. More rushing touchdowns than Christian McCaffrey, who is a running back and is literally his job to run the ball into the end zone. Josh Allen has more touchdowns than Christian McCaffrey.
People who, like, don't watch football, that is inconceivable. Like, inconceivable. That is outrageous. And, like, Christian McCaffrey is so good at football. He's so good at his job, which is to run the ball down the field.
Right.
And Josh is better. And just is.
Yeah. He has 15 more total touchdowns than Lamar Jackson. And to top it all off, even due to turnover, taking into account turnovers, taking into account everything, and I'm not even going to explain this stat. You're going to have to watch the video because it's too good for me to ruin. But Josh Allen finishes number one overall in efficiency, and we love efficiency. And
efficiency is beautiful.
We love Josh Allen. So fuck off if you hear somebody talking about Josh Allen and saying that he's a turnover machine. I want you to stop them and you make his name right, because our boy deserves better.
He has earned
sweet
better. And
baby Josh Allen.
Oh, his face. He's just transparent. You can just see every single thought in his little head.
Ugh. And if by mistake, Josh, you're listening to this.
Oh, no. Stop listening.
Go to therapy. Go to therapy.
Yeah, Josh, it's okay. We can all go to therapy.
We all go to therapy. All of us. Okay. We love you.
Yeah, anyone who's listening to this, therapy is so good. And it's so
very good.
I think that people who haven't been to therapy might imagine that therapy is very different than it is, or maybe you've had a bad therapist. I've had bad therapists. Yeah. Have you had bad therapists?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I graduated it's with some scary. Real morons. It's super scary. I did.
Yes.
I know. It's
yes.
just a fact.
No,
like, if you ask therapists, are all therapists good? No.
No.
Of course not.
Right.
Of course not.
Of course not.
And, like, nothing matters more than, like, the connection between you and the therapist. But it can be super practical. And, like, it doesn't have to be about, like, your parents are probably going to come up and stuff like that. Sure. It's probably going to come up.
Yeah.
Our parents have a big impact on us. That seems practical, right?
Right.
But it can be very, like, what's going on right now?
Yeah.
Let's strategize a more successful way to move forward.
Right.
Like.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's I know I have such a hard time in therapy because I need engagement, like questions. Like, you and I have talked about this. We need like engaging questions. Like, Ty is going to a new therapist now. And he's having a little bit of a hard time because she kind of takes more of a you talk and I listen approach. And that's a way to do it. And that's fine for some people. But I think it's intimidating because it's like, well, what do we even talk about, you know, without any guidance? But you can also, something that I learned is you can literally just say that to the therapist and they'll be like, OK, thanks for the feedback. Like, it's a.
Yeah.
Like, even if typically they're a quote unquote bad therapist, at least in my experience, it's been like, okay, thank you for that feedback, and not like an explosive reactive type situation that maybe a lot of people are used to when dealing with conflict, you know?
It doesn't
have to be so scary.
Right. It is really powerful to have, like, the experience of telling someone, like, I need more, I need something different, whatever it is, and have them be like, oh, yeah, totally. That's fine. Or like, that is a good experience to have because that doesn't happen that often in like day-to-day life.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you do have a big explosion, like, I don't like, I'll personally pay for your therapy.
Just, right. Like, no.
Send us a message.
Yeah. That's like, call us. And,
Because it is, it's not okay. And I don't want to, it is a profession like any other, right? Like the, and not everybody, it is just a fact, a well-documented fact that, the connection between you and the therapist is a huge part of, it like contributes tremendously to how much you get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to say, like, I think that this is, like, and there could be all kinds of reasons, like reasons that I've had clients, you know, say, like, I don't think we're the right fit, or, you know, and which is totally fine. Like, people sometimes realize that sometimes people choose me who are similar to me in like age, race, gender, that kind of thing. And then they'll be like, I think I kind of need somebody who's older. Like, I think I just, something about that would be like very significant for me. And we can like talk about that, not to talk them into staying with me at all, but just like, oh yeah, cool. Like, what is, like, what do you know about yourself that like gives you that information?
Let's help identify what it is you're looking for.
So that you can have, you know, hopefully not see like 10 more therapists looking for the right one. Hopefully we can narrow it down.
Right.
Or people who feel like, I feel like my relationship with men like needs like work in a way that, like, I'm just never going to be able to provide. Hell yeah.
Go. Yeah.
Yes. That, I totally get that. I'm not a man.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that is, hopefully you can have that experience. I'll also say, like, I had to, like, as part of my program, like, part of my program to become a therapist was to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. And I had negative $1 billion, right? And lived in New York City. How did we do that? How did we do that?
Oh, my God. But, truly.
So I went to a federally qualified health center, which I highly recommend. Remember that if you live in the US and you need any kind of medical care, but it's difficult to afford, if you need like a doctor, a gynecologist, a therapist, a prescriber, like check out your local federally qualified health center. Mm-hmm. So that was where I went because that was what I could afford. It was $15.
Yeah.
And I just got assigned a therapist, right? Because it's high volume, right? Like a lot of people need help. And I'm not available 24 hours a day and neither are the therapists, right? And I wasn't in a position to like necessarily find someone that I totally clicked with, but it was a good experience. Like I did have something, like I did get stuff out of it. Like I felt like it was fruitful. It's not the same kind of connection as like some of the people I feel like I've had the absolute privilege of talking to for years, right? Like it's can be really productive because you've got like another brain working on your stuff who can like remember and like notice patterns or like say, you know, I don't know about you. I certainly do this where like I will forget why I made a decision at the time and the decision won't turn out the way I'd hoped it was.
Yeah.
And then I can tell myself a story about like, well, I was like an idiot to make this choice.
Yes, right.
But if somebody else remembers, like, I think at the time, these were, like, this is what you didn't know because you don't know the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. That doesn't sound idiotic. It sounds like you had to make a decision without being able to see the future.
Right.
Like, it's okay.
Yeah. It's exactly it. It's just like the flight engineer. Sometimes you need another set of eyes.
Yes. So helpful. Yeah. It's
love
good.
It.
Love it.
Beautiful.
I'm so happy that we're doing this.
Me too. It feels so good.
Yeah. We love all of you so, so much. And you've been so sweet and kind and lovely.
Yes. That's because you don't get harassed on the Instagram.
I don't get harassed on the Instagram?
No.
I'm grateful I don't. No, we don't get harassed. People
I get harassed.
Do you get harassed? Yes. Why? Who's harassing you?
And no, people are lovingly just being like, where's the new episode?
I know. It's horrible.
Lovingly. Oh. We love it.
It's so disgusting. Maybe I'll edit this out, but like, you know, I've got these two cats that I love more than anything. And so we keep getting them more and more stuff. And like the thing we've done recently is started to get them. This is very gross, guys.
Don't edit it out. If you are squirmish, just stop here and we'll see you for part two. We love you.
Yeah. Love you. We got like whole prey, like the kind of like frozen whole prey that people feed to like pet snakes and stuff.
Yeah.
So like frozen whole prey. We'll just leave it at that. And Baby Beto, the kitten, is
who, for
obsessed.
Context, is not weaned, is
oh,
almost a
weaned.
Year old, is not weaned, is just he a wants. Little, he's a little, he's my cat, Vinny's twin.
Yeah.
And
sweet brother, literally. they both got taken away from their mom
too
soon.
Too early, and they just constantly need to nurse. Yeah, anyways, and is the sweetest little baby boy, but is also scared of everything.
Yeah, but he, like, wants to nurse, and he thinks that maybe on a human, maybe the nipples are somewhere on the feet for some reason. Yeah. So he's always, like, nipping our feet.
Yeah,
like, I bet it's around here. It's such a strange, what are you going to do? But we got the... I don't remember where I was going with this story at all.
Oh, the bird. The
therapy
prey.
Bird. They just love them and they're like so totally obsessed. Like Baby Beto is obsessed. He's always like waiting like a little bit. Like he'll sit on top of the refrigerator and he's not like too bratty about it, but he's just like always waiting. And he's always like, maybe right now.
Is it now?
I was going to make a point with this, but who knows what it was. Maybe I'll edit it in or I'll just edit the whole thing out. But when I remember what it was that I was going to say, but
beautiful,
it's fine.
We needed the Baby Beto story anyways. So,
yeah. Oh, we're talking about people harassing us and begging for, that's how I feel. Like it is love, right? Like it is such an honor that guys love like these episodes enough that you want more of them, you know, and that's what it reminds me of. Like Baby Beto is like, I don't want to be rude, but maybe I can have
maybe
a bird.
Could.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be rude, but I really, really want it.
Yeah.
So it is like, it is just lovely. And we love you all to death.
Yes.
And I'm excited to talk about the Unabomber.
I am very excited.
Yeah.
I didn't, yeah. I've It'll never be- heard, like, I know like the airline thing, like that was his, you know, like what made him the Unabomber or whatever, but I've never like looked into the flight, like this flight. Yeah,
I'm gonna say this right now for anyone who made it to this part in the edit. So we live in the future. We know the Unabomber's name is Ted Kaczynski. At some point, I am going to call him John Krasinski.
Yes.
I just am.
Yeah.
I get the names mixed up. I hope you can understand. So, like, no, like,
I mean,
Jim from The Office did not blow up anything.
No.
But the names are similar.
I probably won't hear when it's done because I'm...
No.
I know what it means, but then I forget we're recording and forget to correct,
just,
like, for everyone else listening.
Yeah, just rolling with it.
It's great.
It's perfect. Yeah, it'll be fine. You guys have been gracious about everything else. I don't think we're going to get, like, hate messages over that, of all
They're
things.
They're like, this is the last straw.
Right, yeah. Can't do it.
John Krasinski's not the Unabomber.
That should be, if we were in any way people who made things, then, or if I was a person who made things, you can make lots of things, but we could have John Krasinski is not the Unabomber shirts.
Yeah.
But
we're making a list. Listen, it'll come.
It'll be great.
Our 20 year reunion, we'll start doing merch.
Oh my God. gosh, yes. Hopefully year 20 will make 52 episodes again. Yeah. But that's, so we did 23 episodes in 2024,
okay,
2023. So we're going to do at least 24 in 24, yeah. 24 for 24, baby.
Amen. That's what we're going for. And we'll do more.
24 more. Or more.
24 or more.
2024.
Listen, 24 is the year of the offense. We're doing it.
A lot's going to happen this year.
Yeah.
It's a good okay. year. We love you. Yes. If you want to talk about football, I will literally call you. If you message me, me, like,
there's a few people in the Instagram show.
Right. If you message us like some anti Josh Allen propaganda,
I will blocked immediately.
Blocked.
If you're rooting for Kansas City,
blocked. We've
in
never
general.
Blocked anyone, I don't think.
No, we've never.
You can't. Just don't tell us. And ever. This is the thing. Don't tell us like today, but don't tell us ever. No. Just keep
maybe,
that.
Like, you can think maybe about like mid-July. There's like 1 week in July that maybe you can talk about it when we've maybe forgotten about football for 1 second. And then we'll be like,
or
oh,
if, like,
ha,
the Bills.
Ha.
Yeah. If the Bills win the Super Bowl, then fine.
Then fine. Like, whatever. Fuck off.
Fine.
Yeah.
No problem.
Don't care.
It's fine. Yeah. So, okay. Really, yeah. But if you want to just talk about football, like, I'll call you. Like, we can talk on the phone to talk about football. It's all I can think about. And that's something, too,
terrible.
Guys. I was sick and, like, life is busy and there's a lot going on. One of the reasons why we haven't made episodes is because Mariah, your husband, Ty, made me play stupid fantasy football. And it just... It's
consumed.
I feel like truly like
trapped.
Like just an obsession. Like Baby Beto can't stop thinking about Bird, much to his own detriment. And like,
it's Thursday. Why isn't there football?
Oh my gosh. There's not even, oh my gosh, it's tragic. Tragic.
No, only a couple more
And then
weeks.
Football's gonna be over.
So soon.
So we'll do like 30 episodes in February.
Yes, yes.
But, there's no more football.
What are you doing? Yeah, let's record.
Yeah. Nothing. I'm not doing a damn thing.
God.
All right.
Okie dokie. Oh,
I love you.
I love you
so much, Mariah.
Yes.
You're all wonderful. We love you. Thanks for sticking around.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Pod Crashed. We so hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for being so marvelously patient as we have taken so long to put out a new episode. We just love and adore both of you. It is 3:37 on Sunday, January 21st. As I record this, you should be able to listen to this in about 4 minutes. It is... not funny at all if the Bills lose today. Do not send us jokes about it. Not that I have to worry about that, because fuck you, Patrick Mahomes. You're going to lose. Okay, love you. Bye.